Blog Talk Radio.
CLWA3 Network.
The following podcast contains graphic language that may offend some listeners. Discretion is advised.
The NAWC, for over 50 months, the revolutionary force in talk entertainment.
The North American Wrestling Connection, bringing you great wrestling discussion since 2007. Sanctioned by
Green Bay, Wisconsin!
Just shut the fuck up and get a job.
That's what I've often said, yes. Good Friday evening, everybody. It is Friday night, the 11th of February, 2011. No, I'm not Nikki Haman. Nikki Haman did not have a sex change, and she did not relocate to the armpit of New Jersey. No, instead, she's out doing her thing. She's got a gig, I believe, this evening. I'm Jim Williams, your guest host on the North American Wrestling Connection on the CLW83 network on Blog Talk Radio on the internet that was created by Al Gore. Tonight, we're going to be talking about a whole bevy of things, mostly, believe it or not, related to WrestleMania, not just the one upcoming, but future WrestleManias. Tell you about that in just a little bit. We'll also talk a little bit about, some rumors circulating about WrestleMania 27, who might be a guest host, who might be involved in a big main event type match. We'll also mention how the quarter four WWE numbers broke down, and we'll talk the wrestling and football connection on the North American Wrestling Connection. I cannot do it alone. I probably could, but I don't want to. So I've enlisted the services of these fine guys. First and foremost, DJ's listening to us he's mobilizing, so he's listening to us on the cell phone while he's traveling through the greater Columbus area. I'd like to say, DJ, you're officially sick, but God bless you for doing that. Joining us as well to talk in the flesh, well, not literally the flesh, this is a radio show, from the greater New York area, a man who is begging for Carmelo Anthony to come to his New York Knickerbockers, Jason Block.
Yeah, I watched the Knicks get destroyed by the Lakers. Carmelo, please come home. Please?
I'm like getting the Snoopy song, Please Come Home, Snoopy,
yeah,
Come Home,
pretty
in the
much,
background.
Yeah.
Some violence. How about those Sixers, by the way? Well, this is not a sports show, I'm sorry. Joining us as our producer and also a raconteur of many things wrestling, a man who has, I think, a didactic memory when it comes to wrestling because he knows so much information. He's the producer of this show. He's the man who single-handedly saved this show. The man behind the CLW83 network and tonight's producer of the show, Carl Chenier in Thibodaux, Louisiana. Evening, Carl.
Cavs win! Cavs win! Oh, hi.
Yes.
Did they really?
Yeah.
They really did. Hell
oh,
is
wow.
frozen over. Pigs have flown and the Cavaliers have ended their losing streak. So,
all right, Jim, how you
doing? Doing well. It's going to be just the three of us for right now, which is why we're opening the phone line tonight to those who are listening in, maybe a first-time listener. Hint, hint, maybe you're listening from WrestleChat.net or WrestleChat on Facebook. Hee-hee, where I plug so nicely. Give us a call if you want your input known on some of the wrestling topics of the day, 718-664-6589, 718-664-6589, or click to talk when you go to our show page. There's a click to talk Skype button. If you have Skype, Skype us up. Carl will let me know in his little high-tech messenger thingy, also known as Skype, what's going on. In the meantime, it's the three of us loudmouths, and let's talk about the big story from the week, in my opinion. Well, a lot of people were thinking Toronto was going to be the home of WrestleMania 28. But wait. Record scratch. Thank you very much. I should have proofed that with you. It's not the case. It is Miami. Party in the city where the heat is on all night, on the beach till the break of dawn. Welcome to Miami. They're coming to Miami. Dan Marino, fellow Dolphin wide receiver legend Nat Moore, were in attendance at Wednesday's press conference, officially announcing Miami would be the host site for WrestleMania 28, going to be held at Sun Life Stadium in Miami. Also on hand, The Miz, John Cena, Alberto Del Rio, et al. Vince McMahon was there. Senior VP of Special Events, John Sabor, was there. And he cited that the WWE is looking to work with NFL teams in conjunction with future WrestleMania host sites as a means of cross-promotion for the two companies. Now, Jason, let's take it from a couple of angles. First of all, Miami is a good host city. Do you think that works? And second of all, what do you think of WWE looking to cross-promote with NFL teams with WrestleMania host sites?
Well, I mean, it's very ironic that they are trying to cross-promote with NFL teams when they were trying to destroy them 10 years ago with the XFL.
That's true.
Okay. Mm-hmm. We all know now that WrestleMania is about as big from a financial perspective as the Super Bowl is, because I believe the Phoenix, Arizona market, which brought in between $50 and $70 million of economic impact, if I remember the statistics right, so don't quote me on the number.
Okay.
So these cities are going to promote big time. So now think of it this way now. The last 3 years, you're going to WrestleMania 26, which is the Arizona Cardinals Stadium. Georgia Dome is the Falcons. And now the Miami Dolphins. Which will lead into another question, which we talked about earlier before the show, which is WrestleMania 30. But we'll get to there. But you're talking about a warm weather city on April 1st. You'll get 75,000 people to go. Because the last time Florida was there, I believe, was WrestleMania 24 at the Orange Bowl. Citrus Bowl.
Orlando,
right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So Florida is no stranger to WrestleManias. I believe this will be their second WrestleMania?
Second in the last few years. I don't think they've had it before at the Citrus Bowl, but I'll double check on that.
So last second in the last 5 years, so good for them. This works.
Yeah, you're fine with it, okay. Carl Schneer, your thoughts on WrestleMania going to South Beach, taking its talents to South Beach, if you will.
Makes a lot of sense, and yeah, we'll get to future WrestleManias in NFL stadiums, because it makes a lot of sense after I thought about it.
And to back up Jason's point, that is correct. This will be the second WrestleMania in the state, in the Sunshine State. First, like you mentioned, since 2008, the Orlando Citrus Bowl. I think it's a good move. Obviously, warm weather climate, and Miami's one of the biggest hot spots in the nation in terms of things you can do, partying, tourism as is. So to give that city what may well be a much-needed boost, considering, I don't know, the status of the city these days, it's definitely a big thing. And Jason, counteracting to your point, yes, it certainly has become a full-fledged week of activities. Let me break it down quickly for those of you in the South Florida area. The Hall of Fame ceremony takes place on the 31st of March at the American Airlines Arena, home, of course, of the Miami Heat and El Sol. Mm-hmm. Access is going to be held at the Miami Beach Convention Center that week. Of course, WrestleMania on the 1st. The Raw after WrestleMania will also be at the American Airlines Arena on the 2nd. And, of course, there's also the WrestleMania Reading Challenge and the Celebrity Pro-Am Golf Tournament.
The art exhibition that they do.
They've done a great job marketing it and making it literally like it's the Olympics, where people are bidding and begging to host the event. So let's look to the future. Let's look at 29 and 30 for a second, because there's news and there's rumors through the grapevine, and it's kind of obvious. It shouldn't be a shock. WWE wants to go to Cowboy Stadium. Notwithstanding what happened this year at the Super Bowl, they still want to go to Cowboy Stadium, maybe as early as the year after for 29 or maybe even 30. It seems like a slam dunk they're going to get it at some point, Carl. But given the problems they had with the Super Bowl, yes, I know it's earlier, it's in the wintertime, but even the problems with the extended seating, do you think that's going to deter WWE from wanting to go to North Texas in the next couple of years?
You know the official capacity number, Jimbo?
For Cowboy Stadium, it's what, 100, 300, 400,000, something like that?
I rest my case. No.
Yeah, I didn't think so. Jason, I assume you will concur.
Absolutely. And put it to you this way. If I know Jera, as we all know Jera, okay, I will predict it. WrestleMania 29 will be in Cowboy Stadium, and it will break an attendance record. It will break the 93,000 record. They will make sure that they get configure the pyro and the set in such a way that they get about 95,000 in there.
I think that's a conservative estimate. I think you can fit 100,000, maybe 105, considering you're going to be using the actual ground level of the stadium, I would imagine, for several thousand seats. So I figure you could probably truck in 100, 100, 500, 10 even.
I don't think that many per se, but even so, you'll get six figures in there. And again, depending on who you promote and what match you have and all that sort of stuff. Again, I mean, we're talking down the road. Now let's go to, if you don't mind me taking this one, WrestleMania.
Go for it. You're Mr. New York, sure.
Yeah, WrestleMania 30, okay, which will be 2014, the year after Super Bowl 48, I believe. No, wait, wouldn't it be the same year?
I believe it would be. Yes.
Okay. So can you imagine the Super Bowl and WrestleMania being held in the same year in the same stadium? The new Meadowlands Arena. Okay. Yeah, it might be a little cold, but you know what? They've done worse. Trust me.
New Meadowlands Stadium, let's correct you, Meadowlands Stadium, not arena. People will be thinking of the Izod Center,
the new Meadowlands Stadium, yes. The 1.6 billion, I've seen it from the outside. It's beautiful. It's gorgeous. All I'm saying is that's where it has to be in, because you don't want it to be at MSG with 17,000. You don't.
Because Carl and I were having this conversation since we heard the news midweek, and Carl and I are kind of back and forth on it. I mean, what's your take right now? Do you figure they go back to home? Which, I mean, Madison Square Garden has so much lineage with the company. Or do you figure, like Jason does, they go and keep it with the stadium theme, considering they've become, you know, they've outlasted the concept of the arenas, not unlike the NCAA Final Four. You don't see that being played, the Final Four, in a little arena. You see it being played at a big dome or something.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. It's going to be in the damn stadium.
Yes, the damn stadium.
75,000, 80,000 people?
Carl's just like, 75,000, 80,000. LSU was 100.
It's about just a little under.
Come to LSU. We'll knock your socks off. No, I'm only kidding. But it seems that way. It seems like they would want to go, and what a coup that would be in 2 months, less than 2 months technically, Super Bowl, WrestleMania, in the greater New York, New Jersey metro area. Be kind of neat, but that's down the road. Let's look ahead to the more near future. And let's talk about WrestleMania 27. Now, first and foremost, we go back to Raw this past Monday night. And at the top of the show, Mr. Mac Daddy came out, not with his normal swagger step, which I was kind of upset about, but that's okay. Vince McMahon came out and announced there will be a guest host for WrestleMania 27. It's been a while since we've had a regular guest host on Raw, but for WrestleMania, he needs something big. He needs something over the top. He will mention who and announce who that guest host will be on this coming Monday night's Raw. I ask you, Carl Chenier, you have, look into your crystal ball. Make sure it's not cracked, by the way. That'd be important.
Yeah.
Cracked? No. Oh, it's cracked over, done. No, okay.
Yeah.
Who could you see? You could throw out a couple of names. Who do you see as being a worthy WrestleMania 27 guest host?
Well, we know that Barker's confirmed to be there, for one thing. You might kill me for this statement. Ryan Seacrest has been talked about as well.
You said it, Dick. I'm sorry. That's my Ryan Seacrest impression. Yes.
That's about all I can think of at this point, really.
So you've got Seacrest, you've got Barker's possibilities. I will turn to Jason Block. Who do you realistically think Vince is going to grab for WrestleMania 27 to guest host?
Oh, wow. Now, the way he prepped it, how did he prep it? He said, what were the
exact
words? He
said it has something to the tune of, this is going to be a big personality, bigger than life, with mass appeal to everybody, blah, 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 blah.
I happen to agree. It's got to be Barker. I mean, Barker's going to be your guest host because he's an icon, he's a legend, he's a guy who, what's the word I'm looking for, who
transcends all genders and generations.
Yeah, he transcends all genders, and he's got the Betty White cool, hip, old person cred. And I don't mean that in
very
a bad way. Okay?
Right.
Because, I mean, Betty White is, if my guess is right, is 88 years old. If I remember my
name. I think she turned 89, but yeah, she's
okay. She's almost 90, and she's in a hit sitcom. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, mm-hmm. You know, what am I going to do? It's going to be awesome. I think it's going to be him. I mean, I heard rumors of Justin Bieber, but that's only like PG appeal, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That sort of thing. I mean, but I think it's going to be Barker. I mean, he would probably put him. I don't know. That's what I'm just saying. It's got to be somebody we don't know yet, though. I don't think.
I would hope it is because I mean I wouldn't be disappointed if it was Barker because he was clearly the best of the guest hosts when they did the guest host thing on Raw. But I wouldn't put it past them to pull the Bieber trigger. I really would not put it past them. Another name I thought about. Because you know she's going to have a handle in this, some way, somewhere. If you have Mr. Jennifer Hudson, you have to have the real Mrs. Jennifer Hudson, do you not, at some point?
No, not big enough.
Not big enough. Okay, maybe not the host, but you know she's going to probably factor into the event at some point.
Could be.
You would figure maybe to sing America the Beautiful, something along those lines. She's almost, in my mind, a lock to be a part of WrestleMania. Maybe not this year, but next year, if Otunga sees her next year. So that's something that's piquing all of our curiosity, and we'll find out the inevitable answer Monday night on Raw, 9, 8 Central, like they need the publicity for me, a nobody who's on internet radio. Let's go to another caveat. Now, you brought this up to me, Jason, when we were doing show prep. And you're talking about a match that, if it happens, it could really make or break the card if it happens. Talk about it for us.
I will. And the source I'm going to credit this is PWInsider.com. So for all the people who we are not stealing this particular idea, this is not our own, read this during the middle of the week. And this, by the way, this is one of the few sites I actually do trust when it comes to news sources and such. Internal discussions over the last few days have switched because if you saw on Monday night, everyone was thinking that Triple H was going to come back against Sheamus at WrestleMania. That's because Sheamus took Triple H out, the night that Shawn Michaels said goodbye after WrestleMania last year, about a year ago. Pretty much, it's now a year, right?
It'll be a year. Mm-hmm.
I mean, isn't that what he did? He was saying goodbye to Shawn Michaels, and then bammo. I mean, he really hasn't been in a wrestling ring for almost a year. Is that true? I'm just thinking about.
I mean, save for the one time he made an appearance a few weeks back and jaw-jacked Alberto Del Rio, that is correct.
Well, you mean the political rally?
No, you're talking about Shawn Michaels. Oh, you mean Triple H. Yes, the political rally. Yes, you're correct. I'm sorry.
No, I'm not talking about Shawn Michaels. I'm talking about Triple H. He has not been on television for a year.
Exactly. Yeah, that is correct.
Outside of the chaperone commercials. Anyway.
Next question. Yeah.
So, everyone was thinking that Triple H was going to go against Sheamus. But Sheamus got his ass handed to him by Mark Henry, which leaves everyone scratching their head. Internal discussions.
Mark Henry, push, huh?
Yeah. Internal discussions have stated that they're going to push Triple H Undertaker with Shawn Michaels as the guest referee, streak versus career. Thoughts?
It's intriguing. It's intriguing to me. It's part of me wonders, have we done too many of these in too short a time? That's the only problem I have with the concept of career versus streak. Because we've gone down this road off and on. We did this all last year, and you think back to before with Ric Flair. So it would be essentially, if I'm not mistaken, the third in 4 years or the third in 3 years, something like that.
Career
versus streak, but career on the line match.
Career versus streak would only be the first two, okay?
I should rephrase myself. Career, I should say, on the line match.
Yeah,
at WrestleMania.
At WrestleMania, right.
That's the only thing that might be, but still, Triple H still has enough in the octane tank for a big match like this. And I think it speaks also to a certain extent, if they're pushing for this, that the talent that's currently in place, Taker doesn't want to go up against these guys necessarily because they might hurt him. Or they don't think
I don't think it's that they might hurt him. He does not want to get hurt. Remember, he has been in two fantastic matches in a row in WrestleMania.
Right. And both with wily veteran Shawn Michaels, who can go with him at his pace.
Right. And then you have... And then the fact that he's not 100%, and I think, here begs the question, and this one's to you, Carl, do you think they're pushing Undertaker too early with this whole 221 thing?
Maybe just a little bit. But
okay.
They're that desperate to get him back for a Mania match.
I was saying that I think they may be pushing the round peg in the square hole a little bit. Because everyone wants to see an Undertaker match at WrestleMania, and if he wasn't on the card, there was no way the buy rates would be that good. Because everyone wants to see the Undertaker win at WrestleMania. It's a question of how.
Exactly. If the match happens, it will probably be the deal sealer towards at least equaling the buy rate they had this past year, that being 885,000 buys. So,
Before we get into the buy rates here, this begs the question, though.
Yes.
If Triple H is willing to put his quote-unquote career on the line, like Shawn Michaels did, is that mean that Triple H is a lot more hurt than he is? B, is he really pushing himself back towards the back office? Is he done? Is that the going theory if that happens?
I'll defer to Carl.
I think really WWE needs him more in the office role more than wrestling at this point. Because you see how they're starting to push out every other little young talent. See Nexus and Core and Sheamus.
Alberto Del Rio.
Del Rio, yeah.
But you
basically
already know that, yes.
Yeah.
I have to concur with Carl. I have to believe if this is what we believe it to be, absolutely, this just means this is the final goodbye. I'm going to the back office. I'm going to do the stuff that Vince has been prepping me to do for years and years and years to keep the company running. I truly believe that. I believe he's a company guy first. And we've seen that off and on over the last couple of years, how he's been, you know, making other talent look better, bringing other talent, younger talent to the forefront. So I think the answer is, yeah, if it happens, it's a lock. The streak will continue, and Triple H will, you know, go to the back office. He'll say his goodbye the next night on Raw. It'll be a very emotional moment on Raw. Cue the ABC After School movie, dissolves and everything. And he'll be happy working, you know, yelling at the announcers in their headsets or doing whatever he has to do in the back office or whatnot. And, you know, he'll have to wear a tie, and then he'll have to chaperone some kids. So, yeah, I think it's going to be interesting if it happens. Now, let's move forward. And it's funny you mention, this makes a good segue, a jumping off point, talking about what's been happening in the WWE as of late. One thing that we have to bring up is the conference call. And this relates also to quarter four numbers, and we'll break those down after the break at after half past. But Vince said a couple of key things to the investors during their conference call earlier this week that I think should be put out there. First and foremost, you talk about the new characters. He's saying that he was asked if WWE fans were buying into new characters yet, and Vince feels that the new stars are getting over. He was proud of that. He noted that the fans' reactions at live events are a good way for officials to judge things. Are we starting to see that now some of the quote-unquote mid-card talents, do you see realistically, Jason, the John Morrisons, the Kofi Kingstons, the Dolph Zigglers, staying near the top of the card, maybe not being top card, but being mid, up from mid-card to being in the title contention race? You see that being a regular thing, these young talents, the Alberto Del Rios as well?
It has to be. And I will tell you when I think that there was a significant switch to that. And that was when The Miz won the title in November of 2010. Was it November 2010?
Yes.
Okay.
I believe it was. Yes.
Because The Miz now, you've got The Miz, I mean, you've got a rumor of Edge being, you know, retiring in 2012. Kane's over 40. Undertaker's over 40. You know, there are a lot of older stars, and you've got to promote new ones. And you've got Ziggler, who has held his own big time. You've got Kingston. You've got The Nexus. You've got, I mean, CM Punk is going to be up there, who is,
sure,
you know, who's up there. It has to be. Has to be. It's financially necessary to promote people like that. I mean, Mysterio's not going to be there forever. Like I said, Triple H, Kane, Undertaker, they're not going to be there forever. I mean, Cena's now 31. He's not going to be there forever.
Yeah, he may, and he's doing a new movie coming up. We're not going to talk about it because we don't want to bore you to death, but he's got outside
he's
things
got,
to look at,
I mean,
down
which
the
they're
road.
Doing test screenings now called Blood Brothers. Sorry, I got to promote it. Why not?
Sure. Well, what I'm getting at is, you know, he not unlike The Rock, not unlike Austin, he may not want to be chained down to wrestling forever. So that's an option, too. I get a kick, and we'll go to break on this note. I get a kick out of one thing during the conference call. He was asked about who the next big WWE superstar is. Of course, he said The Miz. He was then asked about new characters that he liked that were on the rise. He mentioned Del Rio, and then he mentioned Randy Orton. Yes, I know the face Orton is new, sort of, kind of, but really? 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 And on that note, we're going to pay some bills. We're coming back with more of the North American Wrestling Connection. Call in at any time. interrupt us as we go blabbing along. 718-664-6589. 718-664-6589. With Carl Schneer and Jason Block, I'm Jim Williams in for Nikki Heyman. This is the North American Wrestling Connection, and we're coming right back in 2 minutes and 2 seconds.
Hi, this is Carl Schneer of the CLWA3 Network. I want to thank everyone for listening to all our shows last week in our debut week. This one including the BS Big Show, FFL Live, and Locked In, presented by WeDon'tLose.com. Upcoming in the next couple of months, we have new programming we're going to test and debut in both live and pre-recorded form. One of those programs is making a return to BTR. CL Files will return in March. And we will keep continuing doing this show every week, every Friday night, same time. The BS Big Show will have its Season 2 finale upcoming this week. Times and date to be determined. I'm Carl Schneer. This has been your CLWA3 update. Back in a moment.
This is Rob O'Connor from Locked In, presented by WeDon'tLose.com, and you're listening to CLW83 Network.
And O'Connor, if you're listening, don't be a donkey. Get with Skype one day. Welcome back to the North American Wrestling Connection with Jason Block.
Yeah. Excuse me. There you go. Sorry about that. There was a little bit epic fail for you. Welcome to the second half of the show.
Hello, Fred. With Carl Schneer, and hopefully with you calling in. 718-664-6589. Nikki doesn't know what kind of trouble she's in. She better be back next week. All right, let's get to what we were talking about before the advertisement break, as they say in England, talking about the quarter four WWE numbers, and I have them here right now. They were kept in the mayonnaise jar in Funkin' Wagnalls' porch since noon yesterday. No one, who am I kidding? Well, it's not pretty news. Revenues totaled $122.5 million as compared to $117.3 million in the prior year quarter. Operating income was $14.4 million as compared to $17.8 million in the prior year quarter. Net income, though, $8.1 million. That's 11 cents a share as compared to $11.2 million, 15 cents per share in the prior year quarter. Ouch. Some interesting numbers here as well. There were 84 events, including 26 international events during the current quarter, as compared to 83 and 26 in the prior year, same respect. American events, $13.1 million worth of revenues. That's down about $600,000. Average attendance decreased 15% to approximately $5,600, while the average ticket price naturally increased to $39.31. And they were down in pay-per-view revenue, $13.8 million compared to $16.3 million in the prior year quarter. That's a 23% decline in total pay-per-view buys. And beginning in January, by the way, just so we have a backstory, in 2010, the domestic retail price of non-WrestleMania pay-per-views increased $5 to $44.95. That was suggested, of course. So when I turn to things that are analytical like this, I have to look at Jason Block and tell me, read into the numbers. To John and Jane Q Public, what does this say?
This says a few things. First of all, number one, we also know that all pay-per-view buy rates went down considerably. Do you have the numbers on each of those? Could you pull those up?
I will look to find those. Give me one moment.
Okay, but while that's happening, it's basically saying, no, A, we're not going to pay for these pay-per-views, okay? We'll buy them on DVD when they're cheaper. We'll look at the wrestling sites, find out if they're good, and if they're good, we'll buy them on DVD, which are cheap, which are $20 to $25 cheaper now these days. And especially when you get a WrestleMania, and also HD is $10 higher, so you're paying $54.95 for, say, TLC or things like that. You're not going to sit, you know,
right.
You're not going to pay for that. And again, especially with a place like, and again, with the economy, with 9 to 10% unemployment, when you don't have that disposable income going, you really don't have that money. And again, it's the pay-per-view buy dollar, especially with UFC, TNA, and WWE, each running a pay-per-view a month, and each running, again, it's between $1,500 and $2,000 of pay-per-view money if you're going to run it on HD. So you have to be incredibly selective. And people are incredibly selective now these days.
I don't have all of the specific pay-per-view numbers from last year, but for the quarter in question, a quarter comparison.
That's what I was looking specifically for.
Okay, Hell in a Cell in October, 210,000 buys. That's down from 283. Bragging Rights, 137,000 buys, down from 181. So you're losing a good chunk there. The only one that was up, 010 versus 09, was Survivor Series, and that was only by 9,000 buys, 244,000 to 235. TLC went down to 195 from 228 the year before. Carl, let me go to you on this. You're in the boardroom, if you will. What do you do? What do you say to the powers that be? What can be done to remedy the pay-per-view problem?
Maybe charge a little lower for the lesser-known big four or five pay-per-views.
What would be, okay, the next question obviously would be, what would be a price point that you think can get you back to more buys, but also more money coming in?
For your big five there, keep, or was it big four or big five?
Well, yeah, Royal Rumble,
Survivor
four.
Series, SummerSlam, WrestleMania. Pretty
okay.
It's
all right.
Five, yeah.
All right. The three besides WrestleMania, keep it at the $44.95 price. But for the rest of the pay-per-views that are not as well known, maybe drop it down to maybe $39.99. Or back down, rather.
I'd go further. I'd say go back to $30. I mean, give it the in-your-house 2.0 treatment, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
You know, make it to that kind of a thing. And they also have to look, I mean, we hear all the time, seeing online various reports of people who go to these live events talking about seeing more than a few seats tarped off. What can they do also, Jason, about, you know, getting more people, more butts in the seats, if you will, at the house shows, at the live events?
Oh, wow. I mean, it's really tough. I mean, again, with the whole tarp thing, it's really hard because you want to run as many live events as possible. However, you really need to cut the ticket prices even further to get the people to want to see the shows. It's really tough. It's really incredibly tough. I mean, let's say you're a family of four, for example, and you want to see the seats in a very good way. Let's say the tickets, now let's go by the average ticket prices, about $51, you said, correct?
Okay, sure, that works. Seemingly,
okay.
Yeah.
And that would be $200 plus parking, food, souvenirs, okay?
Everybody in Fidelity Lakers, cheap pop purple shirt, yes.
Right, you're talking a $400-$500 night.
Yeah.
So
pretty much, yeah.
So again, it's all about disposable income. You got to cheapen the ticket prices. Maybe do like a 5 to 10% across the board souvenir. You know what I'm saying? Souvenir and
right.
Price thing. That sort of
they can't do much about the food, obviously, because that's within, you know, the arena's jurisdiction.
Yeah, but I'm talking
believe, so.
Yeah, WWE related stuff.
Right. I'm just making sure you weren't going to mention that, that's all.
Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm talking about, and also, make the one thing that TNA does that is better than...
I will attest to this.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Is there's more fan interactivity.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do maybe that at more shows, you know what I'm saying? Something like that, maybe.
More
on
with.
Yeah.
Oh, you know about this.
Oh, yeah, the house show thing? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, don't you think
Absolutely.
That would be a good idea that WWE would do?
Yeah, that'd work for them. It really would.
You know, maybe charge, maybe $10 an autograph or something.
Yeah, if one thing TNA does have right is how they treat people at house shows.
I mean, you got your picture with Jeff Hardy. I have to ask you, was he on drugs at the time when you were talking? No, I shouldn't. Too easy.
No, I'm not answering it. I don't know.
Yeah, yes, because you might be held in a court of law. Ding, ding. Anyway, it's an interesting question. It's something we're going to be watching over the course of, the next quarter report in a couple of months. We'll see if anything changes. Especially, it'll be interesting to see how this WrestleMania compares to last WrestleMania.
Oh,
WrestleMania
there
was actually...
I don't mean to interrupt. Unless they get, serious A-list people to be there, and the matches are compelling, because the way things are working, it's going to be Cena, Miz, and Del Rio Edge, okay?
Right.
Not exactly a compelling WrestleMania card so far.
I mean, you have Money in the Bank. That's always entertaining. But, yes, point taken. And if we get Triple H Undertaker, that might make it more interesting. But something else, and we talked about this earlier, Jason, that may have skewed things was that last year WrestleMania was kind of in competition on that weekend. UFC had a pay-per-view the night before. Most people are not going to shell out $100 for both of them. They're going to pick one or the other, and more often than not these days, they're going to pick UFC every day of the week, twice on Sunday, in church and out. So they've got that as a positive going for them, that they're not competing on the same weekend with UFC. So I'll beg the question to you guys. I'll start with Carl. I'm going to put the over-under at 900,000 buys. Do they go over and under 900,000 buys this year at this point in time, do you believe, Carl?
If they do things right, I think it'll go just a little over.
So you're thinking 925, maybe? Something 910,
maybe
950
at least.
950, okay. Jason?
I'd love to see it happen. I will not predict anything now because it's
right.
way too early. Because we don't know what the card is.
Sure.
You know?
That's called the cheap way out. No, I'm kidding. You're absolutely right, though. You're absolutely right. I'm only kidding around.
It's not the cheap way because remember, the
right.
card isn't fleshed yet.
Yeah,
and
I mean, there is nothing solid. The only thing that's solid is Del Rio's going to be in one of the main events.
Right. And we don't know who the... Yes, exactly.
So, we'll see how things pan out from there. All right, well, we've talked about enough behind-the-scenes stuff. Let's get to some things going on, actually, in regards to wrestling. I'm going to go out of order a little bit because I want to give TNA a little time. TNA had their pay-per-view this weekend against all odds. Why don't they have the, Phil Collins song in the background? How did you just let me walk away?
Oh, Jesus.
All right, I'll stop. But no, TNA having their Impact show, rating was down a tick, 1.2 down from 1.31 the week before. I will be candid, I did not watch it. But there were some interesting developments that Jason will attest to. Heading into the Against All Odds pay-per-view, go ahead and dissect them for us a little bit.
Okay, yeah, I mean, honestly, though, what really bothered me this week, and again, TNA and Class really don't go together these days.
Shocker.
Yeah.
They are actually putting together a Jeff Jarrett-Kurt Angle match, good on paper. But the gaga around it is pretty disgusting, actually.
It's stupid.
Well, stupid, yes, but it's disgusting as well, don't you think?
Yeah.
Okay? Because if Kurt Angle wins, right,
yeah,
he gets custody of his kids. If Jeff wins, he gets to walk his ex-wife down the aisle to renew the vows. We all know that Kurt Angle is going to lose because, you know, that, you know, having his kids back is too easy. Let's see. You've got Ken Anderson fighting Jeff Hardy in a ladder match, which I think is... I still think that Ken Anderson is going to keep the belt for a while. You've got I believe, a three-way X Division number one contenders match. I don't have the...
Yes, you've got Robbie King versus Max Buck versus Jeremy Buck for the X Division title.
Right, okay. Do you actually have the full card?
I'll mention it as we go here.
Okay, just let's go through
it. X Division title, Robbie E versus Max Buck versus Jeremy Buck. We'll see what happens with that.
Mm-hmm.
Also, last knockout standing match for the knockouts title, Mickie James and Madison Rayne.
Okay.
You mentioned the ladder match, Hardy versus Anderson. It'll be a not-so-South Philly street fight, Brother Ray versus Brother Devon and his two sons.
Who, you know, again, plunder, you know. That sort of thing.
Plunder, if you will.
Yeah.
You got Matt Hardy versus Rob Van Dam, Mr. TNA.
Matt Hardy looks like he dropped about 5 pounds. He does look a little better.
Well, that's good. That's good to know.
You know, but, you know, we'll see what happens with Rob. Well, you know, the whole Fortune thing, you know, the Fortune. I mean, AJ Styles looks good. I know he's involved, right?
Well, let's see, continuing down the card. A match that, you know, a few years ago could have been a main event, but for some reason isn't as much anymore. Pope versus Samoa Joe. That looks like it could be a good match.
Uh-huh.
I mean, Samoa Joe completely being misused by TNA, but we won't go there. And the other match on the card I have here, Rob Terry, Gunnar and Murphy versus Scott Steiner and Beer Money. Why did we get Scott Steiner back into the fold? Wait, it's TNA.
He looks like he gained about 30 pounds. So
he isn't juiced now. But that's the card. That's the finalized card. No specific mention of AJ on this card. So there you go.
Yeah, I know. I thought he was in there somehow.
Not per this. But I could be wrong. I've been known to be wrong before.
But you know what? We'll see what happens there. You know, it'll be very interesting to see how they advance the storyline, especially with Jeff Hardy. I believe next month, yet again, is another court date for him.
Oh, brother.
I don't know.
Well, I wouldn't put it past him. He goes to court about as often as I change my underwear anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
Jim, you only change it every couple of months? No, that's not what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I mean, he's they know him by name. They're like, he walks in, hey, Jeff's here, hey! So, it's sad for him. It really is. Let's go back to WWE now, and let's talk about wrestling and football. We kind of alluded to this in a sense when we were talking about Mania. Wrestling and the Green Bay Packers, and actually we'll stay with TNA, because when everybody's darling, the Green Bay Packers won the Super Bowl, a certain wrestler had a few words about it, Mr. Anderson. He had a celebratory video, did he not, Mr. Block?
Yeah, he did. It was on YouTube under the TNA wrestling banner. He was wearing, during the last play, I believe it was his Brett Favre Jets jersey, I think, from what I looked at it here. But I believe he was incredibly happy that the Packers won. But what was more
Matt Stryker, what was he doing? I'm just saying, go ahead.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. But what was more interesting was the fact that the WWE put out feelers to the Green Bay Packers to show up at the SmackDown show on Tuesday.
The Saving Tuesday night. Mm-hmm.
Because I believe it was Aaron Rodgers, Clay Matthews, and others were given or wore championship belts after they won the world title.
most famously Rogers, who actually got presented another championship belt on The Late Show with David Letterman Monday night.
He got a spinner belt on his own.
Well, yeah, nobody's perfect, but yes.
Yes, exactly. So, so what happened was is that they decided, a few of them said, yeah, we'll show up. Turns out that they were involved with the show. Jim?
Yeah, was watching SmackDown, and, well, you see Vicky Guerrero as the referee, or whatever you want to call her, referee in jest only, in the Ziggler versus Edge title match, where the spear was outlawed. Well, at one point, Vicky was going for a spear of Edge on herself, and she did the spear motion, and she just pretty much fell down and twisted her ankle. So, to the outside, she goes, being tended to, Edge goes, spear, boom. And then, while Vicky's looking, because she can't do anything, apparently, which kind of befuddles me a little, she's on the outside, she can see it happening, spear, boom. No referee still. And then Clay Matthews comes racing down the ramp, and with a very respectable 1-2-3 count, I must say, and Edge retains his World Heavyweight Championship. You know, don't let the facts get in the way of a good story, folks. I mean, Vicky could see the second spear. Theoretically, she could ring the bell from outside, but man, don't let the facts get in the way of a good story.
Nope. I mean, this is not the first time a new champion or of any sport has been used to do a quick, cheap pop. Here's a very interesting story, though. Remember back in the day when Mike Tyson was champion of boxing? Excuse me.
Champion of the world, yes.
Yeah, and he was supposed to be the guest referee, I believe, on a Thursday or a Saturday night's main event. But he got beaten by Buster Douglas that night.
Oh, yes, the famous Tokyo Dome fight, yes.
Right, and then Buster Douglas was signed to be the guest referee.
Oh, I think I've seen this, yes.
So, this is not the first time a cheap pop has happened, has it? I mean, a cheap, quick hit like this has happened.
It's not.
I'm sorry, Cole, what do you think of it? What did you think of this? Carl?
Carl Schneider. Hello, Carl. Carl's dead.
No.
He will rest comfortably. No, he's okay. He's probably attending to something elsewhere.
Yeah, this isn't new. Of course, though, Michael Cole was even more annoying than usual. It was just insane. I mean, it was so obvious.
It's a reverse conversation! Shut up.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It was interesting, to say the least, to see him there. And good for him. He gets one final cheap pop, and he was a hell of a player. He probably could have been Defensive Player of the Year any other year, if not for some guy with some really great lineage, some Owen heritage, and hair.
But also, though, I mean, I like the fact that the W... But, it all comes down to irony. 10 years ago, the XFL was out to destroy the NFL, right?
Well, that was the attempt, yes. That was the claim.
And now they're saying, you know what, if you can't beat them, join them?
Well, I will say this in fairness. If they were truly out to beat the NFL... they would have gone head-to-head with the NFL. I think they knew they were never going to beat the NFL. That being said, they got their job done because many of the things you saw in the XFL, well, not many, but some of them, advanced to the NFL. Maybe not necessarily rules, but some of the technological things, like, for example, the overhead camera, which, yes, was used before the XFL, but the XFL made it famous, the overhead swinging camera, and certain other things as well. They made their mark, not necessarily an impressionable mark, but they made their mark nevertheless. I think to have thought they were going to really compete with the NFL, even by Vince's standards, if he really thought that, he must have been smoking something really wacky, some of those purple crayons or something from Rose Art. I don't know. But you make a valid point. If you can't beat them, join them. And that's, the NFL is the biggest sports commodity in the game today in the United States. Not going to necessarily going to say the world. You can make that case though. If you can't beat them, join them. If you can't get a bump from them, a little assist from them, you scratch their back, I'll scratch yours. It's business.
I mean, again, remember before the XFL was around, I mean, you had Lawrence Taylor. You had the WrestleMania 11. You had NFL players in a battle royal in WrestleMania 2.
WrestleMania 2. Sure.
So this is not the first time that they've been involved with the NFL. Now they're just being more blatant about it.
Exactly. And I don't see anything wrong with it. Hey, if Deshaun Jackson wants to beat somebody up on Raw, if they come to Philly, that's fine by me. If the Giants' defensive line wants to flatten John Cena Nexus style when they come to MSG, that's fine by me. Because the Giants' defensive line killed everybody they met. I will attest to that right there.
I just want to know,
okay.
Paul, you out there?
Carl is. He just.
I am back. Yes.
Oh, okay. What did we just wanted your opinion before we actually got off this crazy train. What do you think of the alliance between the NFL and specifically the Green Bay Packers with the SmackDown? Did you enjoy it or not, or what?
Made a lot of perfect sense.
Mm-hmm.
You build up big buyer money, people spending money, you know.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough. One more thing I want to bring up before we go off live air. Let's talk about another botch from Monday night. Now, you heard in the opening of our broadcast tonight, the ultimate botch. We're not in Milwaukee anymore, says R-Truth, but there was another botch that happened in the opening segment of the broadcast. CM Punk, Randy Orton. How nice can we say this? Punk juice. Punk juice is something where blood matriculates out of a nose unintentionally. During the scuffle, during the melee, apparently Orton got a good shot in on Punk's nose and unintentionally broke it. Anybody want to take the ball from here and go places with it?
Oops.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
But I also, I got to give Punk credit for wrestling the match afterwards. Mm-hmm. Pretty damn cool.
And I gotta say one other thing. Where were the officials to stop everything and just come in and then put towels on him? I mean, this we can't have blood. This is PG. Come on.
Ha, 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 ha.
State regulations. Come on.
I
had to. It was too
easy.
Yeah,
I hear you.
Yeah, I'll be here all week. Tip the veal, try the waitress, folks.
You got it.
Let's see. What we have about 2 minutes left. Before we get going, and this is non-wrestling related, want to give you a little congratulatory plug here, Jason. Your game show site you're affiliated with is in a finalist to spot in a poll that people can vote on. Tell us about that quickly.
Yeah, it is the About.com Reader's Choice Awards. And for anyone who is listening, I believe this is a vote early and often sort of deal. You can go to gameshows.about.com, and you can vote for other different categories, including game show host, game show announcer. But if you go to the best unofficial game show blog or website, the site that I write for, which is gameshownewsnet.com, is up against four other sites, which I won't mention.
wonder why.
Sorry, Alex. But yes, the voting is going on right now from February 11th to midnight on March 8th. And if you are a game show fan and read our site, and I've plugged it enough on here, go to gameshows.about.com. Please. Thank you.
I'm bigger game show garbage didn't get. Maybe next year. Anyway, Carl, anything you want to plug here?
Yeah, actually I do, and it's not to plug a site. It's a plug on to do something for me.
Okay, shoot.
To Nikki and to Rob, if you're listening right now, the next time either one of you, or even you two for that matter, get on a computer, go to your old account, Sigma Fan. Redirect people to this one. Please, thank you, goodbye.
There you go. Well, well said from Mr. CLW83 Network. How much time do I have, Carl?
1 minute.
1 minute. We're at the one-minute mark right now. Nikki, I hope we'll be back next week. Let's pray for that. She's busy with gigs, but if she has another gig, somebody else will sit in this chair, maybe Jason, maybe Carl. Hell, if they're drunk enough, maybe they'll let me have another crack at it. You never know. But we thank you for making us a part of your Friday night. Enjoy the wrestling weekend ahead. We'll be back Friday night at 11 o'clock.
Yeah, we'll be back next week here for more of the North American Wrestling Connection on the CLW83 Network. Jim, finish it.
BlogTalkRadio.com/CLW83Network for Jason Block, for Carl Schneer, Jim Williams. Say good night and drive safely.
CLW83 Network. Check us out on Facebook, on the Facebook fan page. Twitter.com/CLW83Network. Also, CLW83.com is your main source site for all of our shows, except there's not much of a site right now. It's getting worked on. So we'll keep you updated to that and all that fun stuff.